Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, the spate of army casualties in the fight against terror in parts of Jammu continues. It keeps going up. In the latest incident in Doda, which is deep inside the Jammu area, well away from the line of control, four Indian soldiers, including a captain, have been killed in action after they made contact with terrorists in an encounter in a forested hilly area. So far, no terrorist in this encounter has been eliminated. Nine soldiers have been killed in action in the last 1 week alone, 48 in the last 8 months or so. And let's face it, this is now a crisis. We can talk about our brave hearts and we'll always do that. But why are terrorists gaining the ascendancy in these tactical fights? We have the former Indian Army Chief General N.C. Vij on the show momentarily, along with a panel of experts. This on a day when the Congress has raised the issue and wants answers.
The latest encounter in the Jammu region, four Indian Army soldiers, including a captain, killed in action when they took on terrorists in the Desa forests, 50 kilometers from Doda town. Nine Army soldiers have been killed in encounters south of the Pir Panjal range in the last week. A crisis that the Army is trying to address.
ऐसे मतलब कंप्लेन कभी नहीं करता था वो ऐसे कंप्लेन करते ना लोग ऐसे था ऐसे नहीं था वो इज अ वेरी डिसेंट गाय तो जैसे उसको आर्मी में जाना भी था गर्व तो होता ही है ना देश के लिए कुछ किया उसने है ना तो देश के लिए तो कुछ किया हुआ तो गर्व तो होता ही है.
The latest incident took place after the army made contact with a group of terrorists and an encounter began.
In the initial volley of fire, four Indian Army personnel were injured, who later succumbed to their injuries. Additional troops and equipment have been inducted to flush out the terrorist, and use of drones and other technical resources is being ensured.
Five soldiers were killed and five others were injured after two military trucks were ambushed at Badnota area of Kathua district last week. In the last 32 months, 48 army soldiers have been killed in terrorist attacks in Jammu region that was free from militancy till a few years ago. The opposition has targeted the government for the spurt in terrorist attacks and has demanded accountability. After the attack, Defence Minister Rajnath Singh spoke to Army Chief General Upendra Dwivedi, who briefed him about the security situation.
सेना अपनी तरफ से पूरा प्रयास करती है पूरे सुरक्षा बल की जो भी यूनिफाइड कमांड का हिस्सा है उनकी तरफ से प्रयास रहते हैं लेकिन मुझे लगता है कि जल्द इन लोगों को मार गिराया जाएगा और ये पाकिस्तान की तरफ से कायरतापूर्ण चीजें बार बार हो रही हैं.
The spate of attacks on army in Jammu region has upset all the security calculations about Jammu and Kashmir, as a peaceful region has been turned into a major theater of militancy. Security forces have launched massive operations to track down attackers. In Srinagar, Nazir Masoodi for NDTV.
Well, joining me at this stage, General N.C. Vij, former Chief of Army Staff. General Vij, thank you very much for being with us. General Vij, 48 Indian Army soldiers and a few police men, officers as well, killed in action in the last 32 or so weeks. Why does it now appear to be a situation where terrorists seem to be on the ascendancy?
Thank you very much, Vishnu, for getting me on your show. Yes, I think in this particular case, we must recall the history that when the operation really started in J&K, the pressure was in Kashmir first. Then gradually it extended to Jammu, and we also put our troops there, and we had that time brought formation from outside. 39 Div had come and the 27 Div had come from the east. So the grid was very strong. And after about 2007, the Pakistanis felt that they cannot sustain this pressure on both sides, that is in Jammu and Kashmir both, and they pulled out some troops, their militants from this direction. The reason was that we had carried out a very big operation in the Hilkaka area in 2002 and 2003, where entire Pir Panjal was cleared, and we used about two brigades worth of troops there. And as a result, the pressure on Jammu reduced and the pressure on the Kashmir side increased, and that was taken care of. Now that the troops have been moved away from Jammu, some for the Chinese border and some had gone earlier, the density of troops on the ground in Jammu area is reduced. That is number one reason, and for which I'm sure by now the army has already made plans and reacted, and they are already moving some troops. So I'm not aware of that, but I'm sure they would have done it because that's the normal thing they would have done. And secondly, there are certain basic drills which they need to have a relook at. For example, the two vehicles going out together, I think that is perhaps not going to work out. We must go back to the proper road opening drills and make the movement much lesser than perhaps we are doing. We don't get involved in jungles at night for the clearance. That time one should disengage and again take up the engagement next morning. So certain very basic things which I'm sure they know better.
But General Vij, these terrorists and their small groups of terrorists are moving throughout the night. It's a known fact that many come with night vision goggles. We are also equally equipped with this modern weaponry, which wasn't there, and sensors, which wasn't there in the past. We have drones which operate by day and by night with thermal sensors. So why shouldn't our soldiers be able to move at night? Is there a capability deficiency?
No, there's no problem in movement at night, but movement at night and engagement of militants at night, when you are not exactly sure of where they are located, that is difficult. If you have sighted them and identified them at a particular location, you can engage with them. But if you are looking for them at that time, it can be more risky for you than it is for the
military. But sir, isn't taking risks in the fight against terrorism what it's all about? If the terrorists can move at night, surely our army needs to track them at night as well.
Yeah, but then the terrorist is just moving away, disengaging from you, is just getting into some portion where he can hide. You have to know you are looking for him. And at some point you will come into his range. It's not a question of movement. It's a question of you looking for him, trying to spot him, and where he can hide himself and be in a position of advantage.
The other pattern that we've seen, sir, time and time again, is that they set up ambushes. And whenever they set up ambushes, they have the initiative. Whoever has positioned themselves has the initiative. They take the first shot. Then our soldiers and our police are responding to that, by which time they've taken hits. How does one avoid this?
Exactly. That's why Vishnu, I said that we will have to increase the density of troops in Jammu as it was before. That is the number one thing we have to do. We have to reoccupy the entire grid as we had done at that time. Third, those areas which are occupied by the militants in bigger number or thicker number, those areas have all to be cleared one by one.
Okay.
And proper drills will have to be followed for that. Like I gave you the example of Exercise Sarvinash, which was done in 2003 in the area of Hilkaka in Peer Punjab. But that is the area which is forested and occupied by them. From there, we have to get them out. So this is a little long-drawn process. Maybe it will take a month or two. It has to be done, and there's no way that we can leave it undone.
All right, General Vij, thanks very much for being with us. I'm now joined by Major General Ashok Kumar, Brahma Chalani, the strategic affairs expert, General Sanjay Kulkarni, and Advocate Ashpreet Khadiyal of the Congress Party. The BJP chose not to be a part of this debate. General Kumar, let me come to you first. How is it that the Kashmir Valley is relatively well protected? We don't find so many incidents over there. The terrain in many cases is even more challenging in the Kashmir Valley. How is it that the terrorism over there has gone down dramatically, and how is it the terrorism over here, south of the Peer Panjal, has gone up?
Thank you, Som, for getting me on your channel to speak on this important issue, because this is drawing the attention of the entire country, irrespective of their political affiliation, on this issue. We have to understand that this is not a homegrown terrorism which is operating in Jammu and Kashmir. It is formally supported terrorism by our Western neighbor, wherein since we have achieved because of the density of troops and more focus in Kashmir Valley, he is trying to divert the attention to Jammu, where, you know, as General Viz rightly brought out, that relative availability of troops has reduced because of the, you know, transgressions of Chinese on the line of actual control. More troops have moved there, and the area had, you know, become somewhat peaceful. Though the peaceful status in Jammu and Dora region has been fluctuating, you know, there were times when there were attacks in Samba, in Nagrauta, in Udhampur and other areas, but then there was a relative peace and calm prevailing, and therefore more focus was there in Kashmir. And because of the intense activity of defense forces being more active in Kashmir Valley, taking this area relatively safe, now they have deliberately, as part of their plan, shifted their attention to Jammu region. And that's why these incidents are, you know, taking place.
Okay. Let me just go quickly across, sir, to General Kulkarni as well. General Kulkarni, I just find it strange that if there is a deficiency in the number of soldiers because some large numbers have moved to the LAC with China, that we couldn't plug this hole, because this has been going on now for more than 3 years. Certainly more than two and a half years, when we've seen every month almost an encounter, or every second month a major encounter taking place where we are losing out. We are losing our men. So if there is a hole to be plugged, why haven't we plugged it so far?
Vishnu, it's not that the holes have not been plugged, because it's been a long time. The Romeo force, the uniform force, which got pulled out, most of them are back again. There's certain times in the entire area for the last about 25 years or so, there's been normalcy over there. It invariably happens that the locals must take charge of that. The local police must take charge of it. The Central Armed Police Force must take charge of it. And of course, the RR battalions over there must be vigilant and ensure that the peace prevails. If it goes wrong, if the human int is failing you, or you're not getting adequate int, or a little bit of a complacency has set in because everything seems hunky-dory and peaceful, despite the kind of infiltration inputs may be coming in, but those are not able to be there, plus the logistic support and the overground workers which are in alliance with them working in our own side of the Jammu division. So all these things we need to take care of. There is no denying the fact. I agree with General Wedge. SOPs must be followed. SOPs, moment you get complacent that everything is hunky-dory, you'll find these things are happening, because the terrorist has to do it once. We have to ensure 24/7, 365 days that nothing should go wrong. And for that, in an area which has been peaceful for the last about 25 odd years, it is very, very necessary that you cannot be in, you know, in a kind of a complacent state for whatever the reason it is. And we understand that the troops aren't complacent. There are things working at it. But the synergy gets act. That thing doesn't happen in the valley, because valley has tremendous concentration of troops. The counter-insurgency grid is in place.
So complacency and a lack of synergy. These are two phrases which you've used, General Kulkarni. That's important. Is that what you, General Kulkarni, very briefly believe is the problem? Complacency, that this surely cannot be happening, and a lack of synergy between the police, the army and any other forces, the administration, the security grid? Is that the problem?
This is not a, but these are symptoms which we need to get over it. Now, for instance, well, like General Wish said, you know, information is coming in the evening and you react immediately in the evening, irrespective of the night vision devices, irrespective of it. What is an ambush? Ambush is somebody, the one who has come and giving you information that there is a probably some militants hideouts over there, there is some movement taking place. He's drawing you into him. Because if the information is flowing to you at about 7:30 in the evening, and about 11 o'clock, you heard the mother of Captain Thapa to say she had already got that the youngster was no more. So you can well imagine, if some information has come to you at 7:30 in the evening, it's time to take place. You coordinate search. Time is yours. If militancy, that chap is going to do it once. You don't fall a prey to what he's going to. He's activated himself at 7:30 to pull you in. And there, he's at a place.
All right, so you need Doda. So strategies need to to be looked at. All right. Ashwit Khadial, you know, I mean, why is, you know, how would you respond to those who say that the Congress is making a political issue out of a national security concern which affects all of us?
Well, the Bharatiya Janata Party, instead of participating in this debate and telling us to, you know, how this allegation of theirs even makes even is logical, has skipped this debate, and this goes on to suggest that the Bharatiya Janata Party is non-serious about this matter. is unbothered despite so many terror attacks. In the last 2.5 months, there has been 11 attacks that have been witnessed. And how many times has Mr. Modi spoken over the matter? How many times the Bharatiya Janata Party has taken cognizance of the matter? Because the last we remember, Mr. Modi in 5 years probably visited Jammu and Kashmir once or probably twice. And the Bharatiya Janata Party, the wrong policies of the Bharatiya Janata Party have led to the bearing of the brunt by the soldiers, by the officers. And our concern with the Bharatiya Janata Party is that, as far as the lives of the locals are concerned, instead of going there, instead of the Bharatiya Janata Party's leaders prefer not to go there, they prefer not to field their candidates in the Lok Sabha election, they delay the restoration of the statehood, they delay the assembly elections. The Bharatiya Janata Party's ignorance has led to this state of affairs of Jammu and Kashmir, and therefore the residents are having to suffer. The locals have been leaving that place because they feel unsafe, they feel that there is nobody that they can talk to. Their grievances go unaddressed because there is no government there. There is no one that they can talk to. They
but Arfis, what does that have to do with terrorists operating in the region?
I beg your pardon?
What does that have to do with terrorists and encounters taking place south of Jammu or south of the Pir Panjal?
I'll tell you what does it have to do with it. Now, when the locals there, they witness these terror attacks, they feel unsafe. And if there were a government, there would have been elected representatives. They would have assured them. They would have ensured a strategy. The Bharatiya Janata Party's central government should have ensured a strategy. But instead of ensuring a good strategy, the BJP prefers to skip these debates because they have no answers to the questions of the people, of the locals, of the opposition. Our concern is the safety because the BJP had promised the abrogation of Article 370 would lead to end of terrorism. Mm-hmm. And instead of ending the terrorism, there has been a surge in the terror attacks. So our concern with the Bharatiya Janata Party is that you have been preaching a lot of things, you have been saying a lot of things, but when it comes to action on the ground, nothing has been delivered, and the people of Jammu and Kashmir have been suffering at the hands of the Bharatiya Janata Party's policies, and so have our soldiers.
Brahma Chilani, Dr. Chilani, again, we don't say these things loosely, and I certainly don't on my programs, but with the number of casualties, do you believe that there is valid ground for India to think about a military option? Now, what that option is, that's anybody's guess. Will it be very small? Will it be in one area? Will it be some sort of a surgical strike? Do you believe we are headed in that direction? Let me ask you in those words.
Vishnu, I believe that some action will take place. But there are two larger issues that we have to keep in mind. The first is that terrorism cannot be effectively contained if it's treated merely as a law and order problem that requires more and more security. To regard terrorism as a law and order issue is to do what the terrorists want, to sap your strength. No amount of security can stop terrorism if the nation is reluctant to impose sustained costs on the sponsors of jihadist killers. The second point is that to impose sustained costs on Pakistan, as opposed to conducting a one-off operation, like say the Balakot airstrike, India needs to shed its reactive and risk-averse mindset. We are too reactive, we are too risk-averse. Look at this, what's amazing is that India dwarfs Pakistan in terms of economic output, military spending, and other material aspects. Yet, it's amazing that the much smaller Pakistan continues to bore India. Pakistan makes up for the power asymmetry with India through stronger political will. Imagine if Pakistan's economic and military power had been close to that of India. It would have inflicted far greater harm on India. Why is it that India only reacts but never provokes? In fact, India prefers to play victim instead of proactively countering enemy designs or upping the ante against the foe. Now, whether India will respond through direct military action or indirect, that is covert military action, is an important question. Direct military action, unless periodically repeated, cannot impose sustained costs on Pakistan. And to save face, Pakistan may have to respond to a direct Indian military action. Indirect cross-border operations conducted quietly
are better suited for imposing sustained costs on the sponsor of terrorism. And I think we have not imposed sustained costs on the sponsor of terrorism, and that's the reason why we have seen a flurry of terrorist attacks concentrated in the Jammu region.
Yeah. No, it is a crisis, and I think it's important that we look at it from that standpoint. Now, this casualty count is utterly untenable as far as we are concerned. What will India do next? Do we have military options? And in the immediate run, what can we do to figure out a solution to terrorists operating with impunity on our territory? I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us.